Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16 and verses 24 to 28. Matthew 16, 24 to 28. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that there are no Christians here tonight. I'm serious. What is a Christian? And don't tell me that, you know, it is somebody that believes in God. Because trust me, the devil also believes that God is there, that God exists. But don't get too upset. Just bear with me a little bit and then we'll see where we get to with this, okay? You see, the word Christian only appears twice in the Bible. And was only in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Jesus never called his disciples Christians. How can they be Christians on both sides of every argument? How can they be Christians in all the countries that were at war in the Second World War? Well, they both prayed for women, okay? Now, I want to exterminate my enemy. And those guys pray exactly the same, but they're both Christians. So I've got a bit of a problem with that. You see, that's why I said, I hope there are not any Christians here, okay? Because there are no specifications of what a Christian is or supposed to be. That's why we have them on both sides of the argument. The only thing we clearly say when we say we are Christian is that we are not Jewish or Muslim. It's a nice label to wear and one which we can discard quite easily as well. We normally wear it to church on Sundays and maybe on a Wednesday evening, okay? But so often then we put it on the shelf there, in the drawer, you know, where it's safe. Doesn't get too dusty there. So if we don't want to be Christians, what is the alternative? You see, the alternative is to be a disciple of Jesus. And unfortunately, discipleship is absolutely clearly defined in the Bible. Our text is from Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, maybe we are not so familiar with this verse. It is in the Bible. We can go and look it up. But we love and cherish the other one similar commandment from John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples." And that's the one which we like, you know. We embrace it because it calls for loving each other. But we sometimes forget that Jesus said, as I have loved you. Ooh. Ooh, that's a bit tough, isn't it? We are in Lent and less than 4 weeks away from Good Friday. Good Friday, where the love of Jesus for you and for me reached its climax on the cross. Are we even prepared to consider the possibility of loving like that, of giving our all? But we get back to our not-so-comfortable message. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Again and again in the Gospels, Jesus confronted those who followed him with a challenge of the Christian life. And tonight, he's confronting us, you and me. And there are three things which a person must be prepared to do if he is to live the discipleship life, if he wants to be a disciple. He or she must deny themselves. Now, in our ordinary conversation, we talk about that. We talk about denying ourselves, and we use it in a restricted sense. We use it to mean that we give up something. You know, for Lent, people have given up chocolates and coffee and all those things, which I certainly can't do, you know. But that's only a small part of what it really means, of what Jesus meant by self-denial. To deny oneself means that in every moment of life is to say no to self and yes to God. To deny oneself means once, finally, and for all time, to dethrone self and enthrone God. God on the throne of our hearts and life, 7 days of the week, not just on Sundays. God ruling over our lives in all its complexity, at work, in front of the TV, around the braai, wherever we are, God is there with us. Are we with God? It means to make God the ruling principle of life. Even more, to make God the ruling passion of life. The life of constant self-denial is the life of constantly saying yes to God. Secondly, he or she must take up their cross. It means that they and us must take up the burden of sacrifice. The Christian life is the life of sacrificial service. Not so long ago, we had our covenant service, in which we said, I am no longer my own, but yours. We may have to abandon personal ambition in order to serve Christ. It may be that you and I will discover the place where we can render the greatest service to Jesus Christ is somewhere where the rewards are small and the prestige is non-existent. We will certainly have to sacrifice time and leisure and pleasure in order to serve God. If we put it simply, the comfort of a warm bed in winter, the pleasure of watching TV, the excitement of going to a sporting event may well have to be sacrificed for the duties God might ask us to do for him. We are reminded of the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, and I'm only looking at the second part. This is the sheep and the goats story, I'm sure you know it. But the second half reads as follows. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Now Luke, when he was telling the same command of Jesus that we must take up our cross, in a flash of insight, he adds one little word. He says, his version says, let him take up his cross daily. The really important thing is not the great moments of sacrifice, but the life lived in the constant and hourly awareness of the demands of God and the needs of others. Thirdly, he or she must follow Jesus. It means to render or give to Jesus perfect obedience. As children, most of us, I'm sure, played the little game, follow the leader. And you all have to follow the leader. And no matter how ridiculous it is, what he or she does, we must follow and do the same thing. Now, the Christian life is a constant following of Jesus. We are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now, salt always preserves, not sometimes, always. And light always shows the way. Again, not sometimes, but always. So to obey God's will for my life, what a staggering thought.